We're thinking about things of the kingdom, but even I've got to share this because it was given to me this morning, and this is a church joke, apparently, and it proves that kids do pay attention. A kindergarten teacher told her class a show-and-tell assignment. Each student was instructed to bring in an object to share with the class that represented their religion. So the first student got in front of the class and said, "My name is Benjamin, and I'm Jewish, and this is a Star of David." The second student got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Mary, I'm a Catholic, and this is a rosary." The third student got in front of the class and said, "My name is Tommy, I'm a Presbyterian, and this is a casserole." I think you could have put just about any denominational name in front of that. Actually, I think the original was Baptist. I adjusted it slightly. These days, we're looking at the parables of the kingdom of heaven, of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And today, as you've already heard well and truly, I think the message has been preached from right from the beginning. Wonderful stuff. But I want to read it to you again. It's really a bracelet of parables. There are two that really go together because they express the same thing about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13:31. "And he put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' And he told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened.'" And really, that's yeast, another word for yeast. And when it goes into bread, it expands the bread. So, small seed. It might be a little hard to see there, but holding a seed between his thumbs, that man. Now, that is actually a pod of seeds, of black mustard seeds from the Middle East. It's a pod, and inside that small pod are hundreds of seeds. It is truly the smallest of seeds in the garden. And Jesus didn't choose any little parable just for the sake of it. It was very intentional. And once again, parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And this one, no explanation is given for these two parables. He just tells them and leaves it hanging. But what do they mean? It's full of incredible stuff. And you who are rural people, people of the land, you know what's in a seed. Incredible thing is in a seed. The power of that. Of course, you also know that it's got to die in the ground before something happens, but it grows. And so we understand that very well. If Jesus was speaking to us here in Waikaka today, he would say the same kind of parable, I believe, because we get the physical one very clearly, but do we get the spiritual one? And so I'd like to try and share a little bit today. "Once the king of a vast empire decided to become a farmer, plant a crop that would one day reap a huge harvest. He spent time preparing the soil, and when the time was right, he went out into his field and deliberately planted one small seed in the fertile earth. No ordinary seed. It was a seed of destiny, a seed of promise, a seed of kingdom significance. The seed of the kingdom of heaven. Inherent in this one seed was the very nature and character of the king himself, and his authority to rule and reign in the lives of those who follow him. It was destined to change the world. That's why the soil on which he chose to plant his seed was the soil of a person's heart and life. At first, the seed was planted into the heart and life of a young woman, a young virgin girl, who bore this tiny seed in her womb. And in the most humble of places, she gave birth to heaven's kingdom on earth. And it's demonstrated for us on Pentecost Sunday. Not in the splendor of a palace. He was born in a barn, a tiny baby. The seed became a human being, and it all seemed so inconsequential, unimportant. Just another baby. But don't miss it. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we know that. This is the incarnation. This is Christmas. I believe we should celebrate Christmas with yahoos. An ancient book recorded his birth. And among other things, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And that's found in Philippians 2. Just a small seed, yet heaven's kingdom appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God. Now, the downside of being human is that you're destined to die as a human. How could the majesty of all heaven live his life as a human being and then die? How could he die and be buried like a seed in the ground? Yet in our story, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what the parable is talking about. He died a criminal's death on a cross. It's the smallest of the seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. Grows into a tree. The birds come and find a nest there in its branches. The seed began to grow into a mighty tree. Now, I have it on record that the tree grows to between 3 and 4 meters high. Not the largest of trees in that sense, but it's the largest of garden plants. All of a sudden, the cross, very quick switch, became the throne where heaven's authority and character was expressed. Be an incredible impact on the world. You and I would have to agree with that. Ross Cochran, I've taken some of his material to put this little presentation together this morning. He's done it so well, and it's used with his permission. He comes from Sydney, Australia. Ross says that the only way I can describe what happened was that on that cross, reserved for criminals, the divine sovereignty of heaven chose to identify with our sin. The divine righteousness became available. Divine love was released forever. And that's certainly so in Egypt and everywhere you go on earth. Divine life was offered. Omniscience was articulated. Omnipotence, these are big words, I'm sure many of you, most of you know them, accomplished what was impossible. Omnipresence assured us that he would never leave us or forsake us. Don't worry about baby, I've got a microphone. It's okay. Never leave us or forsake us. His divine immutability confirmed afresh that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His divine veracity drew us into the presence of all truth. Wow. But our story doesn't end there, it begins there. Here's the real miracle of the story. Unless a seed is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, single, solitary. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. He rose again. He rose again. He defeated the power of sin and death. The seed grew to fulfill his destiny. And so it is no wonder that, as Philippians 2 says, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is a true story. You and I know it to be true. How do I know it's true? Because in Romans chapter 11, it tells me I was grafted into this tree. I was grafted in. Like hundreds and millions were grafted into that tree. What an awesome privilege. His church. And when I yielded to the authority of Christ, the life of the seed became my life. the DNA that was in that seed became mine as a citizen of heaven. It is no longer, listen to these words, you know them. I'd probably quote them to me, I know. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the life in this earthly body is by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Something unbelievable takes place in that transaction. The seed of destiny, all authority of heaven is in that seed. Oh, I can see why Jesus used this incredible parable. A mustard seed, the smallest seed, to become a place where everybody could find shelter, comfort. Oh yeah. So, begins an infinitesimal small thing that grows to be the largest tree in the garden. What's the story telling us? Something that started so small became so huge. That's the thing. And I think in our small corner of Kiwiland here, we sometimes struggle to think, well, you know, I can't see things growing in the kingdom of God. I'll give you a couple of stats in a few moments. And the question might be, well, why not? Is the problem with God? I don't think so. Is the problem with New Zealand? Doesn't he love New Zealand? I don't think so. I wonder where the problem might lie. Selah. Pause and consider. If there was no Christianity, if that seed didn't start to grow into this tree, there would probably be no orphanages, no hospitals, no society for the preservation of anything or saving anything. There would have been no real drive to rediscover new worlds, spread the gospel to every tribe and nation. Medicine and other sciences would not have developed in our world like they have. It's incredible. 100 years ago, the average lifespan of a Westerner, a woman was 48 and a man was 47. Look at you all in your 80s and plus. That's something of the seed of the kingdom. It really is to be celebrated. So medicine and other science would not have developed and our world would be riddled with diseases that would take us, you know, so quickly. Not found cures for. There are untold other changes that would never have taken place, including the Renaissance that brought the world out of the Dark Ages. What a terrible time that was. Some would say, well, we're still in some kind of Dark Ages. Absolutely true, but be assured of this, the kingdom seed is growing. Wow, much more. Externally, visibly, overshadows everything else, every other religion. I know this is public and I know this is recorded. Islam is out to dominate the world. Let me tell you something. In the midst of that domination, no match for the seed and the King of the Kingdom. No match. Do not be intimidated. Do not be put off by what you see and what you hear and what you read. There are more Muslims that have come to Jesus Christ in the last 25 years than of all of missions history. I don't understand it, but I celebrate. Bishop J.C. Ryle describes the seed. I like what he says. It was a religion which seemed at first so feeble and helpless and powerless that it could not live. Its first founder was one who was poor in this world and ended his life by dying the death of a malefactor on the cross. Its first adherents were a little company whose number probably did not exceed 1,000 when the Lord Jesus left the world. Its first preachers were a few fishermen and publicans, who were most of them unlearned and ignorant men. Its first starting point was a despised corner of the earth called Judea, a petty tributary province of the vast empire of Rome. Its first doctrine was eminently calculated to call forth the enmity of the natural heart. Christ crucified was to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Its first movements brought down on its friends persecution from all quarters. If ever there was a religion that was a little grain of seed in its beginning, That religion was the gospel. The seed grew. Starting from this insignificant little size, it flourished. He says again, but the progress of the gospel after the seed was once cast into the earth was great, steady, and continuous. The grain of mustard seed grew and waxed a great tree. In spite of persecution, opposition, and violence, Christianity gradually spread and increased. Year after year, its adherents became more numerous. Year after year, idolatry withered away before it. City after city, country after country received the new faith. Church after church was formed in almost every quarter of the earth then known. Preacher after preacher rose up. Missionary after missionary came forward to fill the place of those who died. In a few hundred years, the religion of the despised Nazarene had overrun the civilized world. I like what he says. In his book, Witness Essentials, Dan Meyer lists some statistics. You may have heard them, but as I researched again, I thought, oh, this is staggering. In 1900, Korea had no Protestant church. Today, there are over 7,000 churches in just the city of Seoul, South Korea alone. And 10 of them are some of the largest churches on earth. In fact, the largest known church on earth is in Seoul, Korea, of somewhere close to 900,000 people. That's the city of Auckland. At the end of the 19th century, the southern portion of Africa was only 3% Christian. Today, 63% of the population is Christian, while membership in the churches in Africa has increased by 34,000 people every day. That's in Africa, where the great white missionary used to take the message. They're taking the message now to the world. It's reverse mission that's happening from Africa in so many ways. In India, 14 million of the 140 million members of the untouchable caste have become Christians. More people, as I said, in the Islamic world have come to Christ in the last 25 years than in all of missions history. That is incredible. That is incredible. In Islamic Indonesia, the percentage of Christians is now so high, over 15%, that the Muslim government will no longer print statistics. That's a good sign. In China, it is estimated that there are now more self-avowed disciples of Jesus than members of the Communist Party. Even the most conservative estimates suggest that China will soon have more Christians than any country on earth. That seed has become a tree and is growing. Across the planet, followers of Jesus have increased by more than 100,000 people every day. Every day since the seed. Every day. I could just sit and bask in that for a second or two. If it doesn't light your fires, I'm not too sure what will. Meyer concludes, the irony is that except for the Middle East, where Christianity was born, and Europe and America, to whose civilization it gave birth, Christianity is expanding everywhere today. Like yeast and bread. Like a seed that grows to a tree. This is from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10. And the kingdom of God will continue to grow until a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Whoa. Another statistic. I'm done with statistics. The percentage of Christians in the world in about 35 AD, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, was 0.002%. Today, the percentage of professing Christians in the world as best we can get the numbers, is approximately 25%. What does this mean for me, and how do I apply it? What does this mean for me today? Firstly, to rejoice that the kingdom of heaven is growing like this. And our heart cry and our desperation is that we'll continue to grow like this in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring the second national anthem to you this morning is to assure you that what started and birthed in our nation as our national anthem is a prayer for revival. It's a prayer for the kingdom of heaven to increase and expand into every area of our country, to every person, every race, every creed, every person. So we can celebrate this, but it's all about growth. The message in this is about growth. And if I go Eartha, Ethel doesn't accuse me, but she helps me understand that I need to earth some things at times. You know, I travel high here and I need to get down there. So thanks for that. To earth it, I've got to ask me the question. Have I grown in my understanding, my appreciation, and my love for Jesus in the last 6 months? Have I grown in my passion for the cause of the kingdom of God? I'm not talking about bums on chairs on a Sunday at church. I'm talking about the cause of the kingdom, the growth of people that don't know God, and his rule and reign in every area of life, education, science, commerce, industry, agriculture. Is that getting earthed enough? Our passion to see almost happened again. I understand that in the revival that was here some time back in Waikato, something like 40 farmers in a period of just a few days were absolutely wrecked, messed up before God by conviction by the Holy Spirit as that revival fell in this place. I don't know what the seed is in George's heart about that, but I suspect that it's do it again, God. I suspect that's what it is. Do it again. It's about growth. Can we say the same of our walk of faith? Can people look at how our lives have grown and expanded and say, wow, what is it about you? What is it that's changed in you? What's going on? You see, learning all this stuff is just a bunch of stuff if it doesn't do something for us. The reason I wanted to share a bunch of statistics with you is to build some faith, because there's another story in the scriptures about a grain of mustard seed faith. Very, very small. If you have that much, you can say to the mountain, move, and it will move. I don't know if that's a literal thing. I don't care. I do know this. That kind of small faith makes it happen. Makes it happen. Do it again, God. Wow. There's a particular flavor. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. We are the fragrance of Christ. To one, we're a fragrance of life. To another, a fragrance of death. But wherever we go, we're a fragrance. And I trust that if we go with nothing else this morning on this Queen's Birthday weekend, the Celebrate Pentecost Sunday weekend, that we will go with an understanding of a little bit more, shall I say, understanding of the kingdom of God. Pentecost Sunday was chosen, I believe, by the Spirit of God to arrive on earth, what we call the beginning of things, the beginning of the church. And it was the latter rain, and it was the harvest. It was a harvest. This thing about seeds and growth and harvest is huge. It's all over. It's imprinted all over the scriptures. All over our lives. All over nature. So when you're out there doing your stuff, I know you've planted a fair bit by now. And you're watching, you're waiting for that to grow. Think about what that is doing in your own life in terms of your walk with God. Let there be a challenge to us all this morning. In Jesus' name. Ready to sing again? It's an MP4. I think we know the song well.
Thank you. the Lord bless you as you go out into this week. And my encouragement to you is to be the church. And He will be with you as you go.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Now look, we're always available, if you'd like prayer or encouragement, someone to sit with you, glad to be able to do that. So don't leave worse than you came in.